what makes you happy? Like, what gives you life? Who's happy about the Buckeye win last night? You're a little bit like me. I'm underwhelmed with them right now, okay? But it is a good thing, isn't it, right? Like, the Buckeyes won. It makes you happy, doesn't it? Like, who doesn't want to feel happy? Like, don't you just, like, live in such a way, like, whether you've thought this through or not, don't you try to make your life happy? Come on. I mean, who goes through their life, whether intentionally or unintentionally, trying to be sad, trying to be mad, trying to be scared? I mean, there's four basic emotions: happy, sad, mad, scared. Who doesn't want to be happy? I mean, that is like your goal, right? Is your goal to be happy? I know my goal is to be happy. I want to feel happy. I want to live happy. I want to be happy. You have got to, if you're like me, be wondering what it is for sure that can make you happy. What recently has made you happy? There's all kinds of things that come into your life that make you feel happy. Are you aware of what that is? You know, like I know that, like, we all love to get things and experience life, and there's certain things that make us happy. And throughout my life, I've had some amazing moments that have made me happy, right? You know, like when you fall in love and that makes you happy, and you get married and your wedding day makes you happy. I mean, you're really not supposed to do that if you don't say it makes you happy, right? So I was like, okay, that makes me happy. Maybe a career, a job, an experience, a life. Yes, this is it. This is my happiness, a house, whatever it is. And then, you know, for parents, when that child is born, right? I mean, is there anything else, right, that can make you more happy? It's just like we all want to get there. We all want to experience that. My father-in-law, every time he prays, when we have dinner, he started this. I started listening to this years and years ago. And he would say, God, you know, help us to be happy and healthy. And with my kids, I want them to be happy. I can't, you know, fathom them any other way. I can't go through life thinking that they might not be. What makes you happy? How can I make sure that they're happy? I mean, I so desire my kids and in my life to be happy that, you know, happiness has become part of my prayer, that I want my kids to be happy. And when I lay them down and we pray at night, you know, there's certain things that get said every single time. We have a routine. I mean, there's a lot of different stuff. You know, it weaves and goes in and out. I mean, you guys know how I am, right? It's like, I did have a plan, but there's some other things. But we're going to get to the point. My prayer time with my kids is just like that. Every single time we pray, I say, God, and God, please help me be happy, healthy, safe, and strong. I want my kids to be happy. I want my kids to be strong. I want them to feel strong. I want them to know they're strong. You know, and we end the prayer every single time with, God, thank you for loving me so much. What's made you happy recently? For me, it's like there's just certain things that happen that kind of catch me off guard, and I go, wow, I'm happy. You know, if you go through the normalcy, you might forget that things are good or however they are, but then something happens, and you go, ooh, that was really nice. The other, last month, I had a birthday, and at the church, whenever someone has a birthday, we get an ice cream cake. Praise God. I mean, that is like, I want our church to grow, not so that we reach more souls, but so that there's more people on staff so we can eat more ice cream cake. Thank you for the cake, Lord. But we have this birthday time, and every time we have the ice cream cake, we sit down, and it might seem kind of silly, but we have like a family moment, you know, where everybody goes around and they say something nice about the person who's, you know, had their birthday. And so for me, when I get to that moment, my birthday, you know, I'm like, okay, here we go. You know, we have other people that really run the church and make things go, you know, student director, children's director, Wes. I mean, there's people that just make this place go, and it's not really me, but in everybody's mind, I'm still the boss. So I'm kind of like waiting for them to like really pull out the obligatory, you know, superlatives. Sorry for the those words. The obligatory, like, here, Joel, I guess I got to say this, but I'm like, they're not really, really feel good about me. I mean, come on, this has got to be them just doing everything they can to, like, make up something because everyone else is watching me and we have to say something nice about the boss. So I kind of sit there with my arms folded, like, here we go. They don't like me. I know this is going to be fake. But we went around the other day, and I was blown away. They went around, and the first person started off, and they said something so nice to me. And I was like, oh, geez, thank you. Can we just stop there? And then we went around, and the next person had something really nice to say, and it was genuine. And I was like, man. My guard went down, and I opened up, and I received what they said. And went around the table, and people had some really nice things to say about me. And I went home that night, and I thought, man, that was amazing. What an amazing gift. What an amazing thing. And I don't think I articulated it, but I definitely felt happy because of what they did for me. And as I'm going through this life, and as every single one of us, you know, through the Saturday, through your Friday, through whatever you're going through, you've weaved in, you've walked into this place at this time. And all of us want to be happy. And there's certain things that make us happy. And it hit me in this journey as I'm talking about how we're going to be happy, how we're going to become these happy people. I thought, how do we make sure that we're happy? How do we make sure that we are happy? Because in that moment, when those people said that nice stuff about me, that was them giving me something. And if I live my life waiting for someone or someone's to give me something in order to achieve happiness, then that means that I may never be happy. Because what if I don't get the things that I want? What if I don't realize how much I've been given? If the ball is in someone else's court, if it's like, I had to wait to get something to be happy, then I am kind of sitting there idly with my hands kind of tied behind my back going, okay, God, if I'm going to be happy, then these people are going to have to give me something, otherwise I'm not going to be happy. And I started to go down this path like, how do we make sure that we're happy? And I started to look at the scriptures because I believe that the scriptures show us like the keys. I believe God wants us to be happy, and I believe it shows us the key to happiness. And I found that you can live your life sitting around waiting for people to give you compliments at your birthday. You can wait to get something. You can wait for your ship to come in. You can wait for that moment. You can wait for that experience. You can wait for that your circumstances to all align and then go, finally, it's all happened for me, to me, in my life. You can try that. But the scriptures teach something different. The scriptures teach that if you really want to make sure you're happy, if you don't want to leave happiness to chance, if you don't want to leave happiness in other people's hands, if you don't want to hand and say, it's up to you to make me happy, then the opposite is true. If you want to make sure you're happy, you got to give. The scriptures actually teach that if you want to make sure that you experience happiness, then you have to give. Now, I am not just talking about giving financially. No. Everyone, just relax. That's just a piece. That's a nice, important piece. And it will make you happy to give. But I'm talking about your whole life. Giving of your time. Giving of your words in the right way. Giving of your abilities and your skill and your effort and your emotion. You see, every single one of us have a lot. We have what we have, and it's in our hands. It's in our lives. And the scriptures teach that in order for you to be happy, it's not going to be that you get more poured into you, to your life, and more poured into your lot, and more poured into your cup, but that you make the decision to give. And that's weird, isn't it? Isn't it weird? Kind of human nature in this skin, this body, this frame, this world that we live in, kind of constantly moves us and drives us to think that I got to look out for number one, survival of the fittest, and I've got to be, and I've got to protect, and I've got to get, and I've got to store up for me. It doesn't really make sense that if you want to make sure you're happy, give. I mean, you would think that this would say to make sure you're happy, get as much as you can. But the scriptures actually teach the opposite. It's a funny thing, right? It's the Chinese finger trap. Today I'm going to teach you the Chinese finger trap of the scriptures. You think when you get your hands trapped in this thing that, okay, I pull apart. If I pull apart, then I'll get out. If I pull hard enough, then I'll get out. Now, this thing is made out of wicker or something, so I could probably pull it apart with my muscles. But the idea here is that when I pull, what my instincts are, it makes it tighter. It makes it not work. I want to get out, I want to get out, I want to get out. I want to be happy! I want to be happy, so I have to get, I have to get, I have to get. Imagine if I really couldn't get this thing off of my fingers. I mean, can you imagine? And I'm just like, guys, I got one more thing to say. I got just one more thing. One more thing to say, guys. And the opposite is true. You push your fingers together, you have to use your other fingers. The opposite is true. You push it together. Oh, my. And it comes off. Pull apart and get trapped. Push together and it loosens up. If you want to make sure you're happy, you have to just completely retrain your thinking. You have to just completely retrain. You see, it's in your hands, so you have to decide what you're going to do. And in the book of Acts, which is a continuation of one of the four main stories of the life of Christ in the New Testament. See, in the New Testament, there were these great men that wrote stories of the life of Jesus so that we could all learn about Jesus and hear the words of Jesus and figure out how to live our life for him and how much he loves us. All of that. And there's one of those guys named Luke who happened to be a doctor, was very specific, very kind of took his meticulous nature in studying health and wellness for people, and he applied that to a historical account of the life of Jesus. And so he wrote the book of Luke. And then he continued to write, and that's what the book of Acts is. The book of Acts is a continuation of this person, Luke, who said, I want to tell the story of Jesus. So he told the story of Jesus all the way up through the book of Luke, and then he continued to tell the story of the people who grew the church throughout the first century. He just told the story. He tells all the different pieces, and you have these characters, these wonderful men and women that are in the scriptures. And in Acts chapter 20, there's a piece, there's a highlight, there's a version right inside of Acts chapter 20 where Luke tells us about Paul, who was at this church that he loved so deeply, so much that he wept when he was with them. And as he finally got back to this church at this time, he knew that he had to leave the church after he had started the church years before. He comes back to them one more time and he sits down with them and he's telling them how to be happy. He literally is like, I want you to know the key to your happiness. And he sits with them. It's an amazing passage. You go read all of Acts chapter 20, and it might sound confusing, but it actually says in there that when he was sitting with them, that he said, guys, he's like, today is the last day you're going to see my face. And it says in the scriptures that when he said that the people started crying, not because of what he taught them, but because they wanted to see him again. And he goes on and he says, what you have seen in me, what you've seen in me and how you've seen me live, how you've seen my life is the key to happiness for you. I'm never going to be back here. I'm never coming back. But what I've done for you in the past is give you a model. I've given you an example. I've shown you how you can be happy. And since I'm never going to be back, I just want you to get it. I want to sum it all up for you. I want to take you there because, man, I want you to be happy. And here's a man that had horrible circumstances. He was persecuted for following Christ. He left the Jewish faith to follow Christ, and that was tough for him, and the world did not accept him that way. And he went through a lot, and he gave a lot of himself. And through all of the pain and torment and torture, physical, mental, emotional, that he went through, he still was happy. He had this happiness that was real. And to the people that he's speaking to in Acts chapter 20, he says, I want to give you the key. I want to give you the key to happiness. And so he's just dialoguing with them, and we pick it up in Acts chapter 20. He says, in everything that I did when I was with you, when I was around you, when you saw me, everything I did, every single thing I showed you, that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. He says, I modeled for you the way to be happy. I did it. You see, part of hard work and part of happiness is when we say, I'm actually going to work hard. He says, I did hard things in front of you. I was working. I didn't come into your space and say, what can I get from you? No, no, I came in and I said, what can I do to work hard and to invest in you? And he goes in, he says, I hope you've seen it. I'm never going to see you again. But what I've done for you is what you need to do is you need to work hard. And he goes on, he's talking about this in the passage before and the passage after. He's talking about how I worked hard, not just at sharing the gospel, not just at telling people about Jesus, but just helping people, just giving of myself, giving of my finances, giving of my time, giving of my energy, giving of my spirit, giving of my emotion. I gave to you. And that was hard work, but I was committed to it. I was willing to work hard. In this little piece right here, it's like we could stop right there because it sure is kind of Chinese finger trap-esque to think that happiness might come from hard work. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but Paul says, I worked hard. In the context, he's talking about how because of his hard work, he could have made a lot of money. But in his context, he could come in, and because he was teaching about God in that day and age when you taught about God and you were viewed as an authority, people would give a lot of money to you, and a lot of people would just kind of spin up some God stories and spin up some God ideas to just make a bunch of money. But Paul came in, he didn't receive all the money from the people that he could have. Instead, he was the first guy to work hard, to give of himself. We're talking to build houses for people, to give food to people, to give his time to people. He worked hard. And he's like, you need to see. That's the key. That's a piece of it. And he says, and we must help the weak. He said, I have learned, and I want you to learn, that I came in here and I shared the gospel and I worked hard, but I went to the people that couldn't walk by themselves and they couldn't live by themselves and they couldn't give what they couldn't get what they needed for themselves. And I came and I helped them. I looked around me for places of weakness, and I decided that instead of just taking from the world, that through the gift of God, I would fill that void. I want you to see this. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. We give, we give, we give. And then he sums it all up, and it's just like, what? This is like, when you read this, it's going to be like a Chinese star coming at you. Whew. That almost got me, because if it gets you, it's a game changer. He says this, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, the words that the Lord Jesus said, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What? I mean, Paul is just an amazing man. He had an encounter with Jesus that was different. This actual piece, this written piece here, it is more blessed than blessed to give than to receive, is actually not found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But Paul had his own encounter with the Spirit of God, with Jesus Christ, after Jesus ascended into heaven. And in some of those interactions with God, he must have learned this, or he heard it from somewhere else. And this is fine, because the scriptures actually teach us that if everything that Jesus did and everything that Jesus said was written down, that all the books in the world couldn't contain them. And so it's almost like a little signal from God where he goes, I couldn't get it all into the main stories. So just jump a little bit forward into Acts chapter 20, and you're going to see one more big principle that you must know. And I used Paul as a medium to show it to you. And that is that it is more blessed to give than to receive. the Chinese finger trap of our faith. What? Another way of saying that is this. There is more happiness in giving than in receiving. Is it true? Is that true? Like, have you tried that? Have you been given a lot and seen what that's done to you emotionally, relationally? And then have you been able to at some point say, you know, I'm going to give. It's this beautiful tension, right? A birthday party. What really makes you happier? When you show up and they say surprise and you get a bunch of presents? Or when you're the one behind the scenes orchestrating the surprise? Isn't it true that when you put a smile on someone else's face, it brings a smile that's deeper than the one you get from simply just receiving something? It's true. You see, a lot of us step back and we go, people who are happy give. People who are happy give. I'm not happy, so how can I give? And you think, I gotta wait for me, I gotta wait for mine, I gotta wait for what I need. I gotta somehow get happy and it's gonna all come my way and then I'll start to give. But it's just not what the scriptures teach. The scriptures teach people who give are happy. People who make that decision to give. Now, some of us in here, we don't think we have anything to give. We just think about our families. We think about our jobs. We think about our health. We think about our spiritual well-being or lack thereof. And we think, I'm empty. Joel, I am empty. How can I give? I just don't see it. I just don't get it. And I just want to just give you a reminder. I just want to just kind of put this in front of you because sometimes we literally can get to a moment of despair, especially the followers of Christ, those of us that know Jesus, that have a relationship with Jesus, where we receive something so great from him. We can forget about what he gave us and we can see our lives in kind of in context with other people's lives and go, I don't have anything. I don't have anything to give. I mean, the reality is Jesus had a lot to give and he gave it. Paul had a lot to give, and he gives it. He talks about it in Acts 20. You are the same. If you're a Christ follower, you have it. You just may not realize it. You just may not understand it. You just may not have fully grasped it. And so in the scriptures, I want to show you why you have so much to give. Because as a spiritual person, you've been given so much, and so you are full, you just may not realize it. And if we can get to that place, it's going to change the way we think. You see, the scriptures teach us that we need to focus on Jesus. I'm going to read through this, and I'm going to tell you what it says. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. You see, we have this person in Jesus Christ who didn't just say, you need to figure out what it means to live your life and to be happy and to give. No, 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 no. He said, I'm going to come and show you what it is. I pioneered life. I get it. I didn't just invent it. I entered it. So we need to focus on Jesus. You see, what you need to do to be happy is focus on Jesus Christ. You need to look at his life. You need to dissect it. You need to put yourself in his shoes. You need to get to that place where it's like, okay, what is this thing all about? And as you start to continually gaze at the person in the life of Christ, then God will graciously, like a prism, start to turn it and the lights and the pictures will change. And you will go, oh, Chinese finger trap. Whoa! Sorry, that's like offensive. I'm sorry to any of you out Asian. I'm sorry. Your Chinese finger trap is amazing. It's probably not even from China. It's probably like a euro. You know those aren't from Greece? Sorry. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. What this says is that God knew that in order for his relationship with us to become full, to become restored, to become happy, to become joyful, that he had to give. Look at Jesus. I'm going to paraphrase. Look at Jesus Christ. He's the one that modeled this life better than anybody else, especially your faith. Who, to be in a happy relationship with you and to experience happiness at a very real and emotional level, he gave himself. He endured the cross. He died. And you need to know that when Jesus died for you, he did not just say, okay, I don't want to, I'm not feeling, I'm just going to do this out of obligation. Jesus Christ, fully human Jesus Christ, fully human, experienced the entire spectrum of the human experience, and he felt it. He felt the brokenness, and he knew that in order to get to the happiness that for some reason the God of the universe wants to have with you in a fixed relationship, I don't know why he wants that with us, but he does. He loves us so stinking much, it's craziness. He knew he had to give. So he did it. And then on the other side of giving was joy. On the other side of giving was happiness. And he experienced it. And what I love about this passage is that after he knew he wanted happiness in a relationship with you, he endured this thing, he gave. And then it says he sat down. And the picture of Jesus sitting down is him saying, we're there. I'm happy. They can be happy. It's solved. If they want it, they can have it. Giving to you made God happy. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that he said, I'm going to do this because of what it can be. I just have this picture. I just have this dream. So if we fix our eyes on him and he's the model, and Paul, who says, hard work and help the weak. If these men understood what it was, then it's the same for us. To make sure you're happy, give. And the story of Jesus and his gift to you means that even if you don't think that you have something to give, you're wrong. You have a ton to give. You're just distracted. You just forgot. You just haven't seen it in a while. But when we behold the gift of God and something that he gave to us, what that does is it gives us this level, this ability to give back. People who are generously loved, love generously. Christians have been loved generously by God, tremendously. And so from that, we give, and it brings this happiness into our life. There have been a lot of sad moments over the past couple weeks. I have to tell you that in the past 3 weeks, there has been more grief and sadness in the existence of the church for the past 5 years. Just, I've been to the hospital more times. It's been more challenging than I have ever fathomed. Sickness, death, brokenness. It has just been difficult. A lot of you know some of the stories that are happening, of people hurting and broken and sick in our church. And it's really not my job to tell everybody what's going on and give all the details, but there is one. And on this journey of learning what it means to be happy and trying to lead all of us in what it means to be happy, We get to kind of have these amazing, beautiful people that God loves with his entire heart. They get put in front of us and they're hurting and they're broken. And we have the opportunity to practice what God has taught us or not. And unfortunately, there's a little boy, a five-year-old boy that goes to our church. His parents, his siblings, and he's 5 years old, and he was diagnosed last week with brain cancer. Parents put him to bed. An hour later, he woke up. He wasn't functioning right. They took him downtown, and within 24 hours, he was having surgery, and they realized now that the cancer hasn't gone away. These people are hurting. They're weak. This is Braxton and Brittany. This is his mom. They look happy there, don't they? As a pastor, I don't know what to do with this. You see, I feel like I'm supposed to know what to do, right? I'm supposed to know, I'm the strong one. The only thing I can think of is I want to help these people. I want to give to them. I want to make them happy. Making other people really, truly happy, maybe it'll make me happy. It will bring me that fulfillment, and maybe I need to do it anyway, but I want to do it. And so I went down there, and I saw them, and I prayed with them, and I talked to Braxton. I went by his bed, and I said, "Hey, Braxton," I said, "who's your favorite superhero?" He said, "Captain America." I said, "Captain America's awesome. He's like half the Hulk, for all you Marvel freaks." He's like, "Yeah." So I went home, and I have a little boy who loves Captain America, and I've given him 30 Captain America toys. And I got down, and I said, "Hey, Kellen, what makes you happy?" And as a little boy, right, he thinks that it's getting something, and I want to teach him that it's not. I said, "What makes you happy?" And he said, "Hey, I love to get toys. My son loves toys." And I said, "Well, then your friend Braxton is sick and he loves Captain America. What do you think that you could do to make him happy?" And he's sick. "What do you mean he's sick?" He's sick. He's in the hospital. He's not happy. He's sad. "How could you make him happy?" And he said, "Maybe we could give him a toy." And I said, "Yes, I promise. My kids aren't angels at all. Come over for 10 seconds and you'll be like, this guy's a phony. My friend came over the other day and Jet was naked standing in the sink in the kitchen. Katie opens the door like, "Oh yeah, that's my naked son in the kitchen. He loves it in there." They're not perfect, but this was a really special moment, right, where he realized what made him happy could be something that made someone else happy. And so my little boy, I walked him through it. I led him through it, but I helped him track it out in his emotions and in his thoughts. I said, "We're going to go to the store. We're going to get something for Braxton." And we went in there, and Kellen picked out this Captain America. It's a four-wheel drive ATV Captain America. It shoots things. He said, "I think he would want that." So we went down there, and Kellen stood there, and you need to understand, like, look at him. He doesn't know what it means to be sick, and he doesn't know what it means to give. He's only ever received, and for my son, this is difficult. He don't want to give away this amazing toy, but he has so much, and he realizes that, and he realized what made him happy, and he's like, "I can make him happy." And my son, I didn't prompt him. I didn't tell him. I said, "That's for him, and you give it to him how you want." And he did it. He handed it to him. And when we walked out of there, I said, "Kellen, what do you think of that?" And he was sitting in the seat behind me in my car when we were driving home. And he said, "Maybe Braxton will feel better now." If you want to make sure you're happy, you give. I mean, that moment, to say it that way, you bring that happiness to somebody else. That's the happiness that God has for us. If you want to make sure, you give. Now, this family is hurting. and they need help. And if you want to help them, you can go onto our Facebook page, and there's an event that's coming up that you can be a part of to help give back to Braxton and their family. Just go to 514 Church's Facebook page. But over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to take us down this road. If you want to be happy, you need to be here the next 3 weeks. Not because of the experience, but because what we're going to learn together and how we're going to grow together. So we need to learn to give. And that will make us happy. Let's pray. God, you are so good. And we experience joy because of what you gave to us. And we can't quite get how you loving us makes you happy, but it does. And we thank you. You're awesome. You're incredible. Help us to learn this lesson, not just in information, God, but in our hearts and in our lives. Help every person in here to have a moment right now where they can pick a way to give. A way to give. And that they get to experience the joy that you planned for them because of it. Help this church to be giving. Help us to give tons of food. Give tons of our time and service, finances, so we can glorify you. And experience the joy on earth that you have for now until we get to experience it fully with you. In Jesus' name.